Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. This is episode 321. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm your host, Riley Blanton, and we're here to talk some Star Wars, and right here across the room, live in the Alpharetta Annex Studios. Last week we were in the Kennesaw. We were bouncing all around Georgia.
Kennesaw, where Michael Morris and Christy Morris live.
If you have not heard last week's episode, Bruce Gibson, by the way, producer of the Fine Program.
Hi, I'm Bruce Gibson.
If you have not listened to last week's episode, go do it. Had a grand old time with Lenovo. They sent us the Jedi Challenges AR game, and we played that, and it was a lot of fun. So we did
now
that.
I left. I had to leave. I mean, after we recorded. But I left. Did Michael get a chance to do it?
Yes, Michael did it for a few minutes, and then I did it, and I fought Darth Maul.
Because the batteries died. Or the battery died in
on
his
the
phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool concept. I loved it. But like, if you want to hear all the details on that, listen to last week's show, episode 320. This week's show, we've got quite a bit to talk about. New look at The Last Jedi deleted scenes, because that home video release is coming up soon. The possible title ? Of the next series, Star Wars series, we'll see. Ooh. And of course, we're gonna recap Rebels, and we got some listener feedback. It's gonna be a jam-packed show, but let's kick it off right now. Let's talk about this Star Wars Resistance thing. All right, Bruce, because now that Rebels, literally as this podcast goes live, it's the day of the finale, the series finale. Of Star Wars Rebels. May they rest in peace.
Now, are you sad that it's ending?
No.
No. It's because you don't like Rebels. That's
I
right.
swear to God. Stop it, Bruce.
No, you don't like Rebels Season 3, but you love 4.
We were talking about it in the pre-show in the Patreon Rogue Transmissions. Go check it out, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Bruce, realize something. When all my friends tease me about not liking Rebels because I was so vocally critical of so much of Season 3, you're like, you talked about how much you really liked almost all of Season 4, and you really liked Season 2, so you basically just don't, you hate Season 3 of Rebels is what you're saying. And I was like, that's fair.
Yeah, because Season 2, you like how it ended, and then Season
particularly.
3, picked up, and you just couldn't get into it, and then Season 4 came, and you're like, liking every episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Particularly this back half.
Even though
literally every single episode that has aired so far has been spoiled for me on Twitter. But that's why I'm an idiot. I just need to never open the Twitter app. Which, by the way, I basically stopped using Twitter anyway. So that's the dumbest thing about the whole situation is that I keep opening it up like, I'll check it. And then in the feature tweets at the top, it's like, good friends of mine who have actually, tweeting a hashtag Ahsoka Lives with a picture of Ahsoka on it. Like, all right, come on, guys.
Well, see, that's why you have to treat it like it's a sports game or something. Like, you're following a team and you're working. You can't watch the game that night. You're recording
it. You got to stay off. You got to stay
off. You're like, I'm staying away from everything.
Which we're
going to
talk about those episodes this week as well.
Yes. And there's something else I want to talk about that has nothing to do with Season 4. But with a character from Rebels.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But Star Wars Resistance.
Can we make that part of Boba's bounty?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to make sure we hit Boba's bounty because I really want to say this one.
Absolutely. But. Yeah, no. And in fact, throw it at the doc so I don't forget as we record through this.
I will not forget because I'm here.
Oh, okay.
You were saying about Resistance.
So it's the new, not copyright, trademark filing for Star Wars Resistance. Including toys, games, playthings, gymnastics, sporting events, handheld units for playing electronic games, clothing, footwear, paper articles. Man, these are thorough. This list is enormous.
Eyeglasses, sunglasses.
Digital media audiobooks. Here's one of my favorite ones. Downloadable mobile applications, consumer electronics, and accessories, therefore. Not therein, accessories, therefore.
Oh, my favorite is plastic sandwich bags.
Very specific. So, of course, this happens all the time. They file Star Wars Underworld, or what was the one that...
Yeah, Underworld.
Was that, I think it was Star Wars Underworld, whatever the one that, what's his face, Rick McCallum, you know, was talking about back in the day. And so this could be nothing, and but I also think it's a pretty solid indicator that it very well may be the title of the next animated project, because that doesn't sound to me like a comics book series. And
no, but why do you assume it's animated?
Could
be for the new Disney app.
Yeah, that's true. Because too. And that's something that what's his face, Bob Iger, said specifically in the latest earnings call when he talked about the future of Star Wars television. Uh-huh. I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, "Yeah, we've got several, not just one, but several." He was explicit about this. Several TV projects for the upcoming Disney streaming service that they're going to be doing to compete directly with Netflix. Mm-hmm. So get ready to shovel out your credit card for another monthly fee, everybody.
Yeah, but I think they said that fee would be under $10. I think it was closer to $5.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
$5 or $6.
Huh. That seems cheap. There's no way it'll stay that way. Right?
I think they'll try to keep it low.
Yeah.
This is really going to be an interesting time, because with all these OTT services, over-the-top services, it's all going to start adding up. You know, if everybody's charging $10, $15, somebody, you know, people are going to stop.
Somewhere. Well, and it depends. So, and again, you're the guy in the TV marketing world. Like, if people have cut the cord, as so many people are, you can afford to replace that with the standalone subscriptions. So if you want to subscribe to HBO Now, plus this Disney streaming service, plus Netflix, plus Hulu, you're still spending less than most cable packages, right?
Yes.
So you could just, I feel like this is the new alternative media that you can stack together a couple of these subscriptions if you're not paying for cable. If you're paying for cable and then you add all of this, it starts really adding up.
I am not going to even start commenting on this, because I could go on for about a half hour. This
could be a whole segment of the show. It's literally Bruce's actual corner of expertise. So, but yeah, Star Wars Resistance, of course, I think, you know, obviously that would lead to whatever the project is. It's almost certainly based on the Resistance from the, you know, the new, what do we call the original trilogy era, the prequel trilogy era, the sequel trilogy era? Is there a better name than the sequel trilogy era timeline? Star Wars Resistance. If it's Resistance, it probably means, I'm assuming they're talking about that Resistance. Right.
Yes. I would say so. Yes.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to do a Star Wars Resistance show, whether it's animated or live.
Yeah.
I would think it's pre Rey and Finn. But then how do you work in Leia? Is Leia worked into that? Because she's the one who's leading the Resistance.
She's in Rebels as a character, so I don't see why not, especially if it's animated. Yeah, I think that absolutely would be the case. This is what I get for, literally, I shut down the Google Doc. What else we got on the doc?
Don't shut down the Google Doc.
Shut them all down!
Shut them all down!
We need to do another commentary.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, that's true. That's really the next one that we need to do. When the home video comes out, I feel like that's when we should do it.
Which is the end of March.
That's this month.
We're just a few weeks away.
Dang it.
Yeah, digital comes out in a couple weeks, and then the Blu-ray DVD comes out.
Mark Hamill to receive a star on Hollywood Walk of Fame. Yeah. I am surprised.
Why? You don't think he deserves one?
No. It's very accusatory, Bruce. No, I thought he already had one. I had like this memory, but it was like, no, they named like Mark Hamill Drive or some kind of street that he was named after.
Yes.
Recently.
I remember us talking that.
And that's what, for some reason, I thought, I've now finally, as of last summer, been on the Walk of Fame and seen all those stars there.
Me too.
So actually, I'd never been before. So now I actually kind of have a personal connection to it, at least in some vague way.
I
know where it is and what they're talking about. Because like I would always hear this, and I'm like, what is the Walk of Fame? Whatever, it's a weird thing.
It's to me, it's kind of ridiculous.
I mean, how long does it keep going? There's so many of them.
It's like several blocks just around Hollywood. And most of Hollywood, you don't even want to walk down. There isn't really all that much there.
Well, it's like, yeah, like the stars started like 3 blocks away at a random Starbucks before you even get to like the main malls and theaters and areas in Hollywood because there's so many stars.
Well, you know, and then I think it's fun if you like, if there's certain celebrities you're big fans of and then you've
you can take
map,
a photo.
And you find, and you know where it is and you can go and take a picture or whatever of it. But it's like, so my wife and my daughters have never been to Los Angeles or even California for that matter. My wife, she was when she was 5, but she doesn't remember anything. So anyway, we're going this summer.
Ah.
And so that came up, Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm like, what? I wouldn't plan to go. It's like, when you're in Hollywood, if you're walking, you'll see the stuff.
Go to the, if you're going to LA, go to the Griffith Observatory.
Yes, that, we actually talked about doing that.
That is the real treat. That is a beautiful spot. And I went there just because of, I'm not going to lie, La La Land. But
I had a feeling that was coming up.
But it's also a really, really nice view. Actually, that's where I met up with J.C. Reifenberg, of course, longtime friend of the show and the guy who started the Scum and Villainy Cantina. Which
is that still there?
Yeah, he's still doing it. It is still going strong.
All right,
in fact, I just saw stuff going on there from last weekend, that like after party for whatever the Rebels, once that closed down, a bunch of like Star Wars types headed over there. That's the other place. You got to go there when you're out in LA.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
And let me know and I'll shoot you an email introduction because like you and JC need to hang out. Okay. Great dude. That's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's an LA tangent. I really want to get stationed in LA. That's the other thing. Like projecting 8 months to 10 months from now when I'm actually going through base selections in the military. That'd be pretty short.
Bethany has been stationed in
Bethany
California.
Is going to be in California. I don't want to say specifically where, but she is going to be out on the coast. And what's kind of cool, so I'm heading out to Texas. This is going to be a very wild and woolly, not wild and woolly, disorganized Star Wars report. I'm just embracing it. This is going to be very
all the others are organized.
So highly segmented. What noise was that? No, I want to get stationed out in California because, listen, if there's one time to live in California, it's when the federal government is paying for your living stipend for the housing and when you're not paying state taxes. So those are the two conditions in which it is acceptable for me to live in California. Otherwise, I would not consider it. But anyway, so yeah, Mark Hamill, Hollywood Walk. I did not expect that story to have that much material on the show.
No, but if anybody is in the Hollywood area, it's on March 8th at 11:30 a.m. And the ceremony is at 6834 Hollywood Boulevard in front of the El Capitan
Theater. The Wilhelm Scream is going silent in the Star Wars galaxy. What?
Yeah, this made ABC News.
What on earth?
Yeah.
But how? Why?
Well, I noticed that because in The Last Jedi, I never heard it.
It wasn't... that's disappointing. It's like a staple of Star Wars.
It is, but it won't be anymore.
Explain yourself, Matthew Wood.
He's playing, a saxophone now?
This is the worst pre-roll ad ever, and it has 10 seconds left on it. I don't understand.
You don't understand.
I don't understand.
You need to subscribe to, this is ABC News. Forget
all right.
It. There.
From the Wilhelm Scream, we're letting the past die, and as Kylo Ren says, and we've started another scream that we like. It's been in this film, and it's been in Rogue One, and it's been in some other films that are not Star Wars related. But it's our own. I'll let it gestate in a few more films before we start talking about exactly what it is. But
Matthew Wood, you stop it. I don't even want to finish the video. You're wrong.
Wait,
hang
what's
on.
The funny about?
Hang on, my phone's ringing. Bethany, I'm recording. Hey. I'm recording Star Wars Report. Matthew Wood says they're retiring the Wilhelm Scream from Lucasfilm audio in general. Right? Thank you. I'm outraged.
That is not the Wilhelm Scream we're hearing right now.
That is Bethany. No, making a cameo appearance. Bethany, I will call you back in like half an hour. if that's okay.
I'll be in the middle of a run, then, so I might have to catch you later, but
all right.
Have fun.
All right, sounds good. Hi and bye, everyone. The Star Wars Report says hi.
Hi.
We'll talk soon. All right, so I just literally, the only reason I answered the phone was so that I knew Bethany would agree with me on my on my outrage. Why? All right.
I don't know, but my favorite part of that is we have a new scream it's that like, we're going to use. Like what? They call like Dave Filoni and Dave, we want you to do a scream.
Hey, guys. Every Dave Filoni impression you'll notice, mine, other podcasters, is always, hey, guys. I don't think I've ever heard him actually say, hey, guys.
No, he never says, hey, guys.
But that's how you have to start.
You know what the new scream is? It's from George Lucas, and it's not really a scream. It's just him saying, why don't you get a job?
Why don't you get a job? Oh, good Lord. That's crazy. Crazy town. Crazy town. All right. Well, we got, I want to talk a little bit about Star Wars Rebels. We have Resistance. Oh, I almost skipped right by it. The Last Jedi deleted scenes. I saw a picture circulating from that duel, and I don't know if that's this one specifically that they're talking about here. But yeah, straight to Entertainment Weekly. I'm assuming this is the Brez. He says, Last Jedi has some things left to reveal for Star Wars fans. There will be 14 deleted scenes released as part of the home entertainment rollout for the film. Some of them curiosities, others adding layers to the characters. EW has an exclusive preview of that footage as well as an interview with writer-director Rian Johnson. Oh, so they have five of the deleted scenes. We have BB-8 reveals Rey's goodbye. Interesting. Rey and the Raiders of the Caretaker Village. The Raiders of the Caretaker? Luke in mourning. Okay. The Supremacy infiltration. And a different Phasma showdown. Does she die like a punk in this one? I'm sure that joke hasn't been.
So I've seen some of these here.
Johnson describes Phasma as the Kenny from South Park of Star Wars. I don't watch South Park, so that's my problem. Able to come back after seemingly meeting her death again and again. In fact, she's so tough that she had to die twice in this sequence. The version of the final movie is the result of reshoots. We don't like having the image from the deleted version. But here's one from the. Oh yeah. So they don't have an image from the scene. But interesting. Well, rather than Finn gaining the upper hand on Phasma, she has him beaten, surrounded by stormtroopers, and that's when they begin talking. Finn unspools the story of her cowardice in The Force Awakens and turns over the shield codes to Starkiller Base to save her own life, and the other stormtroopers shuffle uneasily, and Phasma is shown is showing something to the gash on her face. Before the stormtroopers can react, she does a quick draw on each of them, blowing away her fellow soldiers. Yeah, that's dumb. That's deleted for a good reason.
Yeah, some of these deleted scenes, I'm wondering if they'll be expanded and added into the novelization when it comes out.
Tell me about it when you read it, will you?
You should read, because there's going to be a lot of extra things in there that were not in the movie. And Rian Johnson worked with the author to make that happen. This is as canon you can get without being on the movie screen. Okay, Riley's just looking at me give a crap. I will be reading the book because I'm a true Star Wars fan.
Should. I have an idea for April Fools.
What is that? You're going to pretend to like Rebels?
No.
What?
I'm totally tipping our hat, but I should, for April Fools, we should do an episode titled The Five Things You Must Love About Star Wars to Be a True Fan, and just put that out as a podcast episode.
It'll probably be our biggest show.
Rebels won't be one of them.
Hey, so there's this thing where BB-8 shows Finn, R2 projects Leia.
Yep.
Doing the You're My Only Hope. BB-8 projects when Rey is saying goodbye to Finn when he's passed out, recovering at the end of The Force Awakens.
Shows it to Finn?
Yeah, he shows it to Finn. Just And it was Rian Johnson's way of showing the connection of these two characters, that there's meaning behind it. But, you know, he eventually cut it out of the movie. But Finn apparently says something, and I don't know where the line is here. But, Finn says, it's kind of creepy you recorded that, he says to BB-8.
Yeah. Well, and that sort of gets, maybe that was deleted because it's, again, they sort of, where's romance in Star Wars? It's gone. Like, in the film.
How can you say that? We just saw Rebels where Hera...
No, I'm talking about the films. No, Rebels, sure. Absolutely. Finally.
There was a kiss in The Last Jedi.
There was a kiss in The Last Jedi.
It was a crappy one, but... I mean, it wasn't passionate, is what I mean. I guess it was a little passionate.
Bruce is like, where's the passion? No, that's actually something that one of my favorite parts about is the humor and tension derived from Han and Leia's relationship in Empire, and they're just, that isn't there. Like, I'm kind of sad. I think it would be interesting part of the story, and listen, an elemental part of Star Wars storytelling is sort of an epic classical romance, whether it's the prequels and the terrible chemistry of Anakin and Padme, but still a sweeping classical.
I love that chemistry. It's so awkward. It's so great, though.
I truly, deeply love you. All right. But no, we don't have that.
Always start episode 9 with Finn going, where's Rose? And Rey's like, who? What?
That would be great. Wouldn't it be great? Where's Rose?
There is no Rose.
Another sequence of Finn suddenly waking up.
Finn's always waking up.
Again, I want to see that YouTube supercut of just nothing but Finn suddenly waking up, because it happens so much. There was that scene. And then I guess we're getting Luke in mourning. Where's Han? We see Luke, who's closed himself off from the Force, realizing Solo's been killed. But in one Last Jedi deleted scenes, we witness the aftermath. Luke goes into a stone hut alone and sits quietly, eyes welling with tears over the old friend we'll never see. As he grieves, the film cuts to Leia in a similar pose. It's far away. She's sitting beside a window on the Resistance ship, on the starship Radis, and the cut is meant to suggest she and her brother are sharing a moment of grief. Oh, I like that. That's a nice little thing to kind of touch base with Han. I remember the first time I watched the movie, and you know, in theaters, and he says, "Where's Han?" And everyone in the theater's like, "Oh,
yeah."
About that, Luke. About that.
Where's Han?
Yes. All right. So I want to finish with a reaction to Rebels, and then we're gonna move into Boba's Bounty. But the last two episodes were entitled Wolves at the Door, and the one I kind of want to touch base on a little bit more is this world between worlds, the return of Ahsoka, and the fact that we now have time travel in a very unusual way, not a traditional way, but we have a sort of Star Wars time travel,
right?
In a very Magician's Nephew Chronicles of Narnia sense. Have you read the Chronicles of Narnia?
I'm glad you asked. No, I haven't. I've seen the movies. Wasn't there more than one? There's two.
There's three recently, and then there's like an old BBC series too, way back in the day.
I've never seen that one. BBC series.
None of them, well, maybe they did. I don't think any of them made The Magician's Nephew into a book. C.S. Lewis told in his stories of Narnia, his tales were much more, what's the word I'm looking for? Much more, Chronicles of Narnia is a much less mythic and more, my brain is almost on the word that I want to use and I can't think of it, but just happy-go-lucky children's fantasy novels.
Right, yeah.
Whereas, you know, Lord of the Rings is a much more epic world-building, you know, same thing with Game of Thrones. But one thing about the Chronicles of Narnia that I love is it's a very sort of, it doesn't really have that many rules. Mm-hmm. And that is something very new to Star Wars, question mark, at least to my knowledge, because this episode, I don't want to say that it threw out rules or ignored rules. I just feel like it sort of, I don't know. I can't even speak. I can't even communicate.
Well, because it's so, in a lot of ways.
This was a weird episode.
It's mystical, you know?
No, and the idea of,
you should have answers to what's going on or why.
Yeah, and it's literally, you know, these a world of portals in right. Star Wars that Ahsoka and, you know, Ezra find themselves in, and he is fulfilling. This is the Harry Potter Patronus moment,
where
you know he has to actually intervene to save Ahsoka, even though he's there. The other he is not there,
right.
And that's a very listen. That's Harry Potter. That's time travel. That's a weird, un-Star Wars-y thing. But I still like the episode a lot.
Oh, I loved both episodes.
Okay, so you're on board.
I love them together. These were my favorite episodes of Rebels.
Interesting.
Of the whole series.
And you were kind of blasé last week.
I was.
The, yeah.
Only because it wasn't that the episodes were bad. It's just because
you saw it coming.
I just saw it coming a mile away about Kanan. I just didn't like the way they were setting it up, where all this love confessing is going on, and then he loses his lightsaber. It's like, okay, obviously something's going to happen to Kanan. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Oh, there it is. So that's why it didn't work.
Yeah.
A lot for me. But this episode, there was just so much going on that it creates more questions about the Force. It creates more opportunity to discuss things. And I never wanted to see time travel in Star Wars. But I was also open to the idea that we may see that sometime, but I want it to be like how this was handled. Very much, it's not a person changing time. It's the Force doing its own will and having the ability to do things. It's that mystical kind of thing. That don't give a science reason as, oh, this is, you know, like, of course, people know that. Listen, I also like Star Trek, and we have to give like science reasons of how you get from point A to B in travel.
Yeah.
But with Star Wars, it really just should be the Force is doing something. It's got certain power to do that.
Yeah, and the idea of the Wolf Doom being an extension of Kanan's will. It's a different version of the Force Ghost, essentially, or the voices that we hear when Obi-Wan quickly first transforms into the afterlife, you know, 2.5 seconds after getting sliced down by Darth Vader, he's like, run, Luke, run, immediately. And we immediately, and Luke kind of rolls with that. Doesn't seem too surprised. He's
no,
like,
no, he doesn't.
That old man did it.
But, you know, I find it also, interesting that in the portal, when Ezra enters, he hears all these voices.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We hear a lot of
voices from the saga films, which I really liked how that connected to the movies.
We heard Rey, Maz Kanata in there,
Kylo Ren,
and we heard all kinds of different voices, similar to Rey touching the lightsaber in The Force Awakens. So we're hearing more voices, not voices necessarily even from the past, because we're hearing voices from the future.
And that kind of indicative of the sort of time warp that this environment was. What was the environment called? Was there like a name for it?
I don't remember if there is a name. I just refer to it as like the realm beyond the portal.
I can totally understand why this threw some people off, though. It is very new territory for Star Wars.
And I've heard someone say that, you know, well, what does this have to do with Rebels? Meaning, you know, the rebellion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is not really, yeah.
But to me, it's okay that it works within the Rebels series because Ezra is a rebel, but he also has this ability of the Force. And this is more of his journey than so the entire group's.
Yeah, well, and this is much more in line with what this is very in line with the direction Lucas was going in the Lost missions.
Yeah,
you know, some of the final stuff, Star Wars stuff George Lucas was involved in. And I've seen a lot of sentiment about these last few episodes have been so good, and, you know, why can't Dave Filoni just be in charge of story group and the creative direction of Lucasfilm? And to me, like, I don't know why that isn't a thing already, like, seriously.
Yeah, I don't oppose it, but I think when you're bringing in directors to do movies, the idea is that they're supposed to be the creative force. And I know that they have met with Filoni.
Yeah.
He's been on set. I'm sure they pick his brain and other people's brains. And
but then there's also like a realm of expertise, because directing, as much as it is a creative job, it is a technical one.
Right.
And if you're hiring someone, you want someone with an experience managing a, you know, $200 million movie with an enormous budget and logistical, you know, coordination nightmares, so that when Solo gets in trouble, you bring in the big guns and you get Ron Howard, right? Mm-hmm. So I, in some ways, you know, Dave Filoni, his expertise is Star Wars, but there's a lot more to making a Star Wars movie than just the storyboarding and writing and, you know, that stuff. There's a lot of like technical stuff to be a good director. And that's where I kind of gets back to being able to fit into that larger, you know, it is what it is, that larger corporate machine that is this Disney Studios.
I mean, I would like a big to see budget him movie. Be maybe, you know, like a producer.
Yeah, I would love to see him.
Creative consultant on the movies.
Yeah, I would love to see him be the producer and writer on live action TV. I think that would be a natural fit for him.
Maybe he is. We never know.
Star Wars Resistance.
There you go.
Exactly.
But, you know, this portal, I want to go back to that. You know, one of the things I thought of when Ezra entered the portal and I think right when we were starting to hear the voices or something, I thought this may be where he goes in there and he sees those who have passed on. Actually see, and there's Obi-Wan and there's Yoda Qui-Gon and Anakin, you know, whoever. And that they have the ability to walk through the portal back into our world as a whole being. Because George Lucas played with the idea that you can come back from the dead, from being a Force ghost, and be whole again. And I was wondering if this would allow that to occur.
Huh. Maybe. That could sort of explain the process of how Qui-Gon unlocked the ability to retain his personhood, his identity beyond, in the beyond of the Force. I don't know. I love this stuff. I find this kind of mythological part of Star Wars fascinating.
And I'm going to say also that this realm, even though we're hearing voices of people from the future like Rey and Maz Kanai and stuff, of course we'll say, well, they're not dead, so these aren't the voices of the dead. My argument is they could be, because there is no time.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So you could be, you know, you are hearing the dead voices of Rey and Maz Kanai in a sense echoing what they've said in the past, because there is no future, past, or present.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, let's go to an email from Andy. Andy says, hey guys, just listened to your latest show, and one thing struck me that you guys didn't really discuss about Rebels, and that is who dies in the finale, if anyone. I predict that Ezra dies and Ahsoka lives. Why? Because there's no mention of Ezra in Rogue One or other films. And secondly, Ahsoka is really Dave Filoni's baby. I predict Ezra will die to save his friends and family and will stop the Emperor from doing something, you know, something significant. We'll see Monday night. Of course, as we're recording this, if you're listening to this before the episode airs, it's today that it releases. You may even be listening to this after it airs, so this discussion is pointless. But I feel like this will be a fun little exercise. We're a few days away from it airing. One day? 2 days away from it airing as we record.
Yes.
Who do you think, who bites it? Who bites it in the end?
I honestly don't think anybody's gonna.
You don't think?
Not of our major.
Not
Rebels
of the main
cast.
Main cast.
Because we just lost Kanan. I just don't think they're gonna go with another death.
They're not gonna pull a Rogue One.
No, because this is a different medium on Disney XD, and you know, I don't know if they want to.
I don't know. I think they threw out the "this is on quote unquote Disney XD" or "this is a quote unquote kids show" when they decided to go with this whole last season. It's just sort of a trippy, you know, like the idea of that portal world. That's not exactly like easy, simple kids entertainment, right?
Right.
So I think maybe they might. Well, if you had to guess, if you had to select one of the main crew that's most likely, I think that's the fun game we can play.
Sabine.
Okay. All right. I could see it. You know, obviously, Hera's in Rogue One,
right.
So it can't be Hera.
Rogue One.
Chopper, droids can't, well, I guess, I was going to say droids can't really die, but then you ask K2SO. Oh, snap, too soon.
Yes.
All right, I think
Ezra seems too obvious.
Most likely is Ezra. I'm gonna agree with Andy here. I think it's going to be Ezra. And that's just because, well, and it's a 90-minute finale, so it still seems kind of rough to kill him off that close together. But I could totally see it being Ezra, just sort of because, not just Andy, as you mentioned, he's not mentioned later, but I just feel like that would bring his character full circle. I don't know. It makes me think back to Kanan's death, and man, that's some of the best storytelling and the best example of like what a Jedi should be. I'm ripping off Aaron Gowen's Twitter because he tweeted that right after the episode aired.
Oh, he's so smart.
Isn't he?
Maybe that's why he got invited to the screening.
Well, I totally agree with that sentiment. It is an example of what a Jedi truly should be. That kind of sacrifice. And I think sacrifice is a big part of Star Wars. It's the part. It's the crux of Star Wars. It was Obi-Wan's ability to sacrifice himself and Luke's willingness to sacrifice himself in Return of the Jedi. You know, sacrifice is a big part of what gives birth to redemption. And that's sort of like, Obi-Wan's sacrifice redeems the rebellion's effort to blow up the Death Star. He sets up the heroes. Luke's, willingness to sacrifice himself and die is what redeems his father in Return of the Jedi. And so the idea of, Qui-Gon's sacrifice in The Phantom Menace. And the opposite is true, too. Anakin's unwillingness to sacrifice what he loves and his selfless claim and possession of his, wife and Revenge of the Sith and power and everything that he clings so tightly to is the sort of exact opposite of what his son is willing to do, which is let go of it all. And what Obi-Wan does, lets go of it all. So
I almost think if Ezra does die, I think it's because he gives himself to the Force.
In some way, yeah. Like, I could totally see that it sort of being the will of the Force to set up or redeem something. Well, like Andy said, something to set up the rebellion. And if that's the case. So I think that's the theme of Rogue One. That's probably one of the strongest themes in Star Wars now that I'm thinking out loud here, if that's not semi-obvious. But that's the thing, as we mentioned last week, talking to Michael and Christy, that's where Luke's sacrifice, we don't really know what it means, but it's better darn well mean something.
I like that things are vague sometimes. Yeah. We don't have the straight answer to that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But, the talk about who lives, who dies on the Empire side of things, I'm wondering if Thrawn
that's a good one.
Will die.
Is Thrawn going to bite it?
But then again, we have a Thrawn novel coming out later this year, so maybe. Who knows?
If on the Imperial side, who's left? Like, you just have. Obviously, you have Tarkin, and he can't die, and you have Governor What's Her Butt, and no one really cares about her.
Yeah, there really isn't many.
All the Inquisitors are gone. Wah, 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 wah.
I just hope we see a puffer pig.
Oh,
One last time.
Oh, the puffer pig sacrifices himself to save the rebellion. All right, let's go to Boba's Bounty. Bruce, you've been waiting the whole show. Tell me about it. What's your Boba's Bounty this week? What have you been up to in the world of Star Wars?
Well, I was watching, I think it was the Rebels Recon on these last two episodes.
Uh-huh.
And they were showing some scenes from prior episodes and some scenes from Clone Wars and such, all relating to this recent episode. So the Yoda of Rebels just never works for me.
It's bad.
It's bad. Okay? It is. And I was just, and they showed us Yoda from a previous episode, and I was just like, that Yoda just doesn't really work for me. I mean, there's the one I'm showing Riley on the screen right now. There's the one from Clone Wars. That one's okay to me. I liked that one.
And the stylized animation style, yeah.
But the one on Rebels I don't like. But it occurred to me, now I'm loving this Yoda. Because then I realized I know who this Yoda is. This Yoda is Bob Newhart. I think he looks like Bob Newhart. Look at that. I'm showing you pictures.
That is astounding.
And if anybody doesn't know who Bob Newhart is, and lately he's been on Big Bang Theory. He's the old guy. He plays a Jedi. Like, you play like a Force ghost to Sheldon or whatever. Because he did like the kids' science show that Sheldon really likes or whatever. But I mean, he's a comedian. He's been around for, since the 50s at least.
Yeah.
Or so. And he's had his own sitcoms and stuff. So, yeah. Yoda on Rebels is Bob Newhart. Check it out. Look online. Compare.
Nice.
That's my Boba's Bounty.
I love it. I love it, man. I'm trying to think. What have I done Star Warsy this week? Have I come across anything Star Warsy? I'm trying to remember, like, maybe in any of my Postmates deliveries slash. Oh, I might make it two part. One, and if I might think of a better one as I'm talking, but the one that jumps to mind is something that I was having a late night Skype session with William Devereaux, helping him set up some new podcasting equipment.
Oh, that guy who also went to the screening of Rebels.
And he, so I was setting up, helping him set up his equipment, and just to kind of test playing audio, he started playing some of the old season 2 Kevin Kiner soundtrack to Rebels. Mm-hmm. And I just was remembering how amazing that is. So that's something I was listening to this week, is the Rebel soundtrack. It's on Spotify, I believe, so you can find it there. And that was a huge part of...
Oh, good Lord. A huge yawn attack
what
just happened.
What is that?
Good
is that
grief.
The new
that's
scream?
The sign. That's the new scream. So the Rebel... Go back and listen to the Rebels...
You do need a soundboard. The Rebel soundtrack. Go listen to it. It's great, and you can catch you can catch what's it called? I blanked. Oh, and the only one other shout out I'll do for this Boba's Bounty is Star Wars Explained. I know I've mentioned them before, but Alex has been putting out some really good. Star Wars Rebels themed episodes, things like, you know, how, why and how did Kanan Jarrus regain a sight, you know, during the moment of sacrifice. He's been doing episode reviews. So yeah, go check it out. Star Wars Explained on YouTube. Also, Avengers moved up a week. I'm pretty excited about that. But that's not Star Wars related.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You didn't?
Why'd they
it's
move the it up?
Best thing ever, man. So on Twitter, at Marvel Studios tweets,
yeah.
This has nothing to do with Star Wars, but I'm going there anyway. They tweet, like with a poster, promotional image of some kind, May 4th, who can't wait, who's ready? And then, you know, of course, tons of replies on Twitter because it's a huge Twitter account. Yeah. And then some random Twitter account with like 100 followers says, why can't it be May 4th? I wish it was early. And Robert Downey Jr. replies to that random tiny Twitter account. And also tags Marvel Studios like, yeah, can we move it up? Can we be earlier? And then Marvel Studios replies to the tunes like, well, hey, how about April 27th? Would that work? And then Robert Downey Jr. says, I think so. What about you guys? And then he tags Chadwick Boseman and all the other cast. And then they start chiming in like, yeah, move it up. And so then the official Marvel Studios account announces with the brand new poster and promotional material, they just moved it up a week. Avengers Infinity War comes out April 27th.
Wow, this is very encouraging.
I think this is great news.
This means that they're saying, you know what?
Uh-huh.
We need to have some breathing room for Solo.
Yep. They don't want to compete with themselves, and you've got two huge blockbusters in May, and even putting one at the beginning and end of the month, to have, if you want one of these films or both of them to be a breakthrough box office success that makes a ton of money, you need to have it be the top film for, you know. Like, I remember when Avengers, the first one came out in 2012, it was like the number one movie through the entire summer, which is really rare these days. And the same thing for, like, The Force Awakens when it came out. It was the number one movie through, like, February and just had, like, 2 months as the king. So I think that's what they want, is they want that extra week of breathing room.
Well, I'm glad you're excited.
I can't wait. You're not excited for Infinity War?
I really do want to see it, but I'm not as excited as you because, for example, I just saw Black Panther finally today. Loved it.
Which should make you more excited because of all the Wakanda stuff in Infinity War.
The problem is that there's just so many characters that you're throwing into a movie that you really don't have the time to really develop. Like a single story or a line story and develop the characters. I feel like it's just going to just be bombarded.
That is the challenge.
I mean, I'm hoping that I'll come out of there thinking they did a great job managing that. But I felt the same way when I've read like comics where you have like a big amount of superheroes and like the DC Marvel universe is crossed over. It's fun to read, but at the same time, story wise, there wasn't a whole lot there.
Well, yeah, I'm hopeful. I've loved all the Avengers films. Even Age of Ultron is one of my favorite Marvel films. And yes, come at me, bro. Come at me on Twitter. Oh, wait, you can't.
I liked Age of Ultron. I did enjoy it.
Well, such a powerful message of Ultron at the very end, and the Vision, where, you know, humanity, they may be flawed, but that's kind of why they're worth saving.
But I liked Captain America: Civil War better.
Yeah, that was also really good. That was really good. All right, but this is not a Marvel podcast. We got to wrap it up. We're going to call it quits on this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Much appreciated. Thanks to everyone supporting us on Patreon. You should do so. Jump in, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We got to schedule this month's, now that it's a new month, we got to schedule another Patreon roundtable discussion. And man, it's like, goodness. Next month is Avengers. And the month after is Solo. Crazy.
Yeah, it's gonna
crazy.
Be a big month.
Also, we get May 4th back. So
yeah,
take
that's
that.
True, we do,
take,
yeah.
Take that.
And that's about the time you're leaving us.
That is about the time I'm leaving. Yeah, that's the other crazy thing. So yeah,
I don't mean leaving us the show. No. To move to.
No. Email us like Andy did. StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Twitter is @StarWarsReport. Of course, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. And leave us a review on iTunes. That always really helps. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. And, follow Bruce on Twitter. It's @Admiral_Rex. I am loud and live on Instagram @TheRileyGuy, R-I-L-E-Y. Go follow me there. I'm always posting stuff. And I had a lot of fun in the last weeks. I'm out and about in Atlanta doing Postmates and some other things. So I'm always taking fun Instagram stories. So follow me on Instagram. You can check out my Instagram stories. Those have been a lot of fun. I'm posting there and interacting a lot more these days. And Bruce, anything else I'm missing?
I think that's it.
Here's to watching a great series finale for Rebels coming up. It's hard to believe. Maybe we'll do like a special. It depends on how big of a finale it is. If everyone dies and some huge event happens, I feel like maybe we'll need to do like a breaking news. Therapy session or something like that. Who knows? So stay tuned here to the podcast. If you're not subscribed, make sure you do so. We're available everywhere podcasts are available. It's super easy. In fact, available now on Google Play. We're available on Stitcher and, of course, iTunes. Anywhere you listen to the show, leave us a rating and review. That really helps. But that's going to do it for this week's podcast. Until next time, may the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Oh, and may the force of others be with you. Oh, and thank you for writing Star Tours.
Bye bye. I'm glad you're starting to really come around and get Star Wars now.
Live long and prosper. Come on home.